relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream today. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
These misguided bans will not actually prevent all abortions. They simply put safe and necessary abortion care out of reach for our most vulnerable. Specifically, our lowest income sisters, our queer, trans, and non-binary siblings, Black, Latinx, AAPI, immigrants, disabled, and indigenous folks. And none of this is happenstance. It is precise. Like the roots of the anti-abortion movement, these bans are rooted in patriarchy and white supremacy.
Excuse me? Did your brain fall out of your ear? That's Ayanna Pressley. I'm Sebastian Gorka. I'm back in studio, and it's good to be back. Flying across the nation to stop the rhinos was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, speaking to a crowd of more than 1,000 American patriots. But it's great to be back. Not in the swamp, per se, but in front of the microphone. Thank you to Mark Davis, who stood in the gap yesterday. But we have to discuss what happened while I was away and what's happening today. Biden's in trouble. The Democrats are in trouble. The president is on Capitol Hill trying to save his Build Back Better $3-5 trillion deal, which seems to have stalled. The struggle bus is in trouble. Happy Friday. It's Ask Dr. G Anything. Call me 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Second Amendment Friday. We're going to be joined by Liz Harrington, who works for President Trump. Marsha Blackburn, who just scolded, just utterly destroyed those woke military individuals on the Senate floor 2 days ago. Jim Carafano, one of my favorite gun guys. Ian Harrison, the editor-in-chief of Recall Magazine. And perhaps the most exciting of all, a whole hour with those warriors for freedom. Joe DeGeneva and Victoria Tunsing in studio. You do not want to miss a second. We are live streaming at rumble.com/Seb Gorka. Subscribe today. Never miss any of our interviews. That's rumble.com/SEBGORKA. It is the First Amendment anti-fascist alternative to YouTube. Okay, so that little clip there, let's start with, we have some mind-bending, mind-altering video cuts for you when it comes to the congressional testimony about the Texas bills protecting the lives of the unborn that are making the Democrats go literally insane. But what you just heard there was the fight to stop abortions is rooted in white supremacy. We have witnessed more than 60 million children murdered in the womb since Roe v. Wade. Almost half of them are black. Now, just do a little bit of math there. Since the black population of America is less than 15%, and almost half of the more than 60 million children aborted, killed in the womb, are black, means that the abortion rates are white supremacy. Not just the figures alone, the massively disproportionate number of black children who are killed in the womb. There's that amazing post, I'd love to know who paid for it, that went up in New York. The most dangerous place for a black child in New York is in her mother's womb. Devastating statement of truth. It's not just that. It is the positioning of Planned Parenthood clinics. Why is it, have you asked yourself, why is it that Planned Parenthood clinics are disproportionately located in high-density minority areas? Why? Could it be, perchance, because the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, in whose name awards are given out each year, one of which was received by Hillary Clinton. Yes, she's a proud Margaret Sanger Award recipient. Could it have anything to do with the fact that she was a eugenicist? Don't take my word for it. Look at what she said about the enfeebled of mind and those not fit to live or to breed, especially the poor black community. She was such a eugenicist, such a hateful, murderous bigot, that Hitler himself, this scene is one of the most chilling scenes in our friend, my colleague Dinesh D'Souza's Death of a Nation, where he reenacted and read, had reenactors read, the letter Adolf Hitler wrote to the leadership of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, because that is the full name of the Nazi Party. Let me just, one more time, National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany, that he wrote them a letter instructing the leadership of the Nazi Party to congratulate Margaret Sanger on her clear thinking and her eugenicist stance. So my friend Dennis Prager says, whatever the left is accusing you of doing is the opposite of the truth, and they are most likely doing it themselves. The real white supremacists are those killing 20, 30 million black babies in less than 50 years. But it's okay. It's okay. It's all about love, really. This is unbelievably board-certified gynecologist Ghazale Moyedi testifying on Capitol Hill, Cut 7.
Texas deserves better. I know firsthand that abortion saves lives. For the thousands of people I've cared for, abortion is a blessing. Abortion is an act of love. Abortion is freedom.
Abortion saves lives. Not of the unique life in the womb that is destroyed, that is variously poisoned or chopped up in the womb and then removed limb by limb. Abortion is love. When a child is conceived, at that moment of conception, a unique genetic identity is created. That means a unique life is created through the miracle of God, through the creation of us made in his image. At whichever stage that child born or unborn, is killed, is terminated, is aborted, an innocent life is taken. And there is no excuse. Rape, incest, one evil act can never justify another evil act. That life is the most innocent of all lives possible. The unborn, there is no human being more innocent than the unborn. And to say that the murder of that unique human life is love, is freedom, that's how perverse they are. That is all the evidence you need, my friend, that we live in diabolical times and we must stand up to the evil every single day. That's why I'm here, and that's why you're listening. This is the Salem Radio Network. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist and deputy to President Trump. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, stay with us and don't touch that dial.
I know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
Thank you, Mr. President. Welcome back. It's Ask Dr. G Anything Friday. It's Second Amendment Friday. Only one line left free on the call board, and I haven't even mentioned it yet. Sound off. Ask your questions. 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. First guest of the day. Delighted to have her with us. She is none other than Donald J. Trump, my old boss, President Trump's spokesperson, Liz Harrington. Welcome to America First.
Hey, Sebastian, thanks for having me.
All right, follow this lady right now at Real Liz USA. What a great moniker on Twitter, Real Liz USA. The man who sadly bears the title of president is on Capitol Hill. It seems that the Build Back Better plan isn't working so good. So how desperate is he that he's there today? And does he have a shot of pushing this abortion of a travesty across the line?
Well, you got that right. It's absolutely a travesty. We cannot allow either of these monstrosities to pass. You know it must be bad if they're dragging him out of Delaware, out of the basement, out of the fake White House set, wherever they're keeping him these days. You know it's bad if Biden's going over there. But people cannot rest easy. I mean, I cannot overstate this enough. These are terrible bills that are designed to destroy the country as we know it. It's totally transformational. It is absolutely terrible, and we can't let it happen. You know, this whole debate between $3.5 trillion and $1.5 trillion, okay, both are way too much money for one in this economy, but more importantly, it's what the bills do. They rewrite the way our country, our constitutional republic, the way it runs. It's trying to transform us into a socialist, communist, welfare state, and we can't let that happen.
And when they accuse conservatives of the big lie, isn't the real big lie that they say, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 trillion, Liz, they tell us it's going to cost zero.
I mean, this is so stunning. I mean, they say these things with a straight face. Now you're not allowed to say pregnant women. It's pregnant people. $3.5 trillion is actually $0. We have to protect the vaccinated from the unvaccinated. All of these things don't make any sense. And that's what communists do. They rewrite the language. They push forward lies. The biggest lie of all, obviously, is that Joe Biden got 81 million votes. We know that isn't true. But all of this is such an attack on truth, an attack on our very foundation of our country.
Hang on.
And they do it every single day.
Hang on, Liz. Hang on. Are you telling me that, I'm going to use a phrase I learned today, a desiccated, senile old freak who stayed in his basement didn't get more votes than the first black president? Is that what you're saying to me, Liz?
It's so amazing that you have the entire mainstream media, I mean, all of it, coming out and saying, oh, Joe Biden won. The audit results just confirmed it. Maricopa County, by the way, that hasn't voted Democrat since 1948. But the one who would make history again was the guy who never left the basement and couldn't fill six circles at a campaign rally when he did. We're the crazy ones, they say. No, they are. And they're pushing this propaganda, these lies for an illegitimate regime to prop him up while they're destroying the country, by the way. And if the media would start digging into this election fraud, which is not going away, this movement is growing. The movement to decertify is full steam ahead, starting with Arizona. But if the media would start covering it, then they wouldn't be reading in the Wall Street Journal how they're complaining about $2 trillion in tax hikes and $5 trillion in spending. Well, everything they're doing is illegitimate. So why don't you go to the source, which started on November 3rd?
All right, so tell our millions of listeners across the nation, from Los Angeles to New York and streaming at rumble.com, what do people who haven't been closely following it need to know the truth about the Arizona audits? And what can we expect imminently from your boss, my old boss, when it comes to the Texas audit, Liz?
Yeah, absolutely. So first, we just put out a statement, President Trump, applauding Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick in Texas for helping move their effort in the state Senate for a full forensic audit, which we have to do. It's not just the swing states that we saw stop the count and did what they did after the election with mail-in ballots to prop Joe Biden and drag him across the finish line. It wasn't just there. If you look at all the anomalies, Texas has big questions. We want Texas big, but I think we want it by even more, and there's no harm in checking. So we have a good statement out. President Trump is all over it. And then in Arizona, I mean, this is just reinforces why we need audits in every state. People need confidence in their election systems. The media is lying about this. They're saying that it reconfirmed the recount. It wasn't a recount. It was an audit. No matter how many times you count the same stuffed ballot box, you're going to get the same results. The problem is, how many tens of thousands of ballots should have never been counted in the first place? We got 23,000 of people who moved and they had mail-in ballots cast in their name from their prior address. Who voted those votes? 17,000 duplicates, many of which surged and came in after Election Day. This is a state they claim is decided by 10,457 votes. There's more than enough to be certified. That's just the tip of the iceberg. There's hundreds of thousands of corrupt ballot images, numbers that don't add up in any of their election systems. And, of course, they purged their general election data the day before the audit began, deleted it. That's a federal crime. There are crimes that were committed in Arizona, and the Attorney General has already sent a notice to the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors telling them they have to preserve all the evidence from the 2020 election, so there's more to come there.
We've only got a minute and a half left. Follow this lady on Twitter at RealLizUSA. She's a truth teller. She's a warrior for freedom. The website is DonaldJTrump.com. What happens then? If there is a push to decertify, what scenario is President Trump working with after that phase?
We have to see what happens, and the pressure is there. We have Republicans in the House and the Senate who have already come on board. We need to primary anyone who doesn't get on board because the evidence is clear. And so what happens next? Criminal investigations. People need to be held accountable, because if we don't fix this, if we don't have accountability for stealing votes and fraudulent ballots, I mean, you have ballots that were counted, mail-ins, with no signature. That's just on its face fraud. That takes away a legitimate vote of someone who stood in line and voted in the November election. So we need prosecutions, we need pressure politically, which we have on the grassroots level, and these other states. You have Georgia, damning evidence. There's an investigation that just started in another county because 43,000 mail-in ballots from drop boxes have no chain of custody. Again, a state decided by 11,000 votes. We cannot have this in America.
I just have to say, it is a breath of fresh air to hear such candor spoken about the last election and election fraud. You are a breath of fresh air. President Trump's spokesperson, Liz Harrington. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
I think a lot of these families right now, they don't feel like you have your back. The special ops guys I met with Friday in my office in Nashville that are taking their time, their money, and risking their lives to do a job that the three of you could not do. Maybe we're going to remember you three as the three that broke the military.
Incredible words. Every time I play that, I'm just thankful that we have some patriots, a handful left on Capitol Hill. That is Tennessee's Marsha Blackburn, the senator who maybe is one of the most courageous and outspoken, telling Mark Milley, the CENTCOM commander and the Secretary of Defense, that you are the guys that probably broke our United States Armed Forces. And we are honored to have her with us today. Senator Blackburn, welcome back to America First.
Oh, I am so happy to join you. Thank you so much for having me.
I want to go straight to the meat of the matter. Why is it that so few of your colleagues just get to the heart of the issue the way you do? I kind of had a flash of inspiration as I was watching you live. I saw the Chyron on the TV footage, and it said Marsha Blackburn, senator since 2019. And I thought, well, maybe that's it, because she's still a citizen. She's not a politician. She tells the truth. So do you have any explanation as to why you're such a lone voice of clarity and courage?
Oh, I tell you, this is my calling in life. I say I get up every day to work to defend faith, family, freedom, hope, and opportunity. And I feel like I so truly believe what Reagan always told us, that freedom does not get passed along in the bloodstream. It is up to every single generation to fight for it, preserve it, and pass it on free to the next generation. So that is my calling, and that is what I focus on every day. And what we saw happen in Afghanistan is the conduct, the way our commanders didn't stand up for defending the country. And obviously, after the hearing, we know they did not have plans B, C, or D if plan A didn't work. And it doesn't sound like they told him plan A was never going to work. You could not shorten that timeline. You could not remove all the troops and still say, we're going to get every American out of there, because then you had no way to facilitate that. So this is why I think Biden, Harris, Milley, Austin, Lincoln, they, everyone ought to resign for what they have done.
Absolutely. I have to ask you, I asked you offline before the show began, before the second hour began. I'm going to do it in front of our millions of listeners. What is your theory? You had them in your crosshairs. Watching Milley's face was just incredible as you read him the riot act. Why did they flip in the space of less than 24 hours? First day they said, we can't comment on what we said to the president. And then you got them to admit that, yes, we told the president that he needs to have 2,500 troops minimum in Kabul. Why did they change their mind? Why did they seemingly throw Joe Biden under the bus, Senator?
Because they knew that we had them under oath, and they are required to tell us we are the ones. See, in America, we don't have government control. military control of our government and our people. We have civilian control of our military. The U.S. Senate signs off on every single promotion that is made in the U.S. military. But these guys, I think, after they got to that hearing and they saw the vitriol from not only Republicans but also Democrats and the push for answers, I think at that point they realized that their back was against the wall. And that is why I asked them to confirm that, yes, they had told the president that there had to be 2,500 troops left in order to defend the Bagram airfield and the prison that is there, our embassy, and Hekaya Airport. And I thought it was interesting that General McKenzie said, you know, he had even recommended that they move up to 4,000 people.
Very fascinating. Follow this lady on Twitter at Marsha Blackburn, blackburn.senate.gov as well. We have a very brave officer, a Marine Corps officer called Stuart Scheller, who is in the brig, who has been arrested. Mark Milley, who's admitted calling his Chinese counterparts in Communist China to give them a heads up if President Trump declared war. Your reaction to the fact that Milley is still in uniform, he's still the most senior officer in the United States, and that Colonel Scheller is in a military prison?
Well, and it is such an inequity, because Mark Milley, by talking to reporters and telling them what President Donald Trump was saying and what was transpiring, he was outside of his command. He was speaking out of turn. But Mark Milley says he has no intention of resigning. And Colonel Scheller is now in the brig because basically he did the same thing. He did it on social media. So Joe Biden is going to protect Mark Milley because Mark Milley has protected Joe Biden. But you know what? We're all working, trying to get to the bottom of this, to support Lieutenant Colonel Scheller and to make certain that there is equitable treatment for our men and women in uniform. But I will tell you one thing, Sebastian. I think that this has pointed out to the American people. First of all, we have leaders in place right now who have politicized the U.S. military. That is not a safe place for our men and women in uniform to be experiencing a politicized military. We're seeing it not only in the conduct of General Milley and Secretary Austin, but look at what has transpired with this CRT training in the military, where we're taking our focus off of lethality and providing for the common defense and defending the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And people are going, hey, wait a minute, we can't do this. This is not right.
And Milley is fine with bigoted ideology like critical race theory being taught at West Point. We're talking to Senator Marsha Blackburn. Her book is The Mind of a Conservative Woman, Seeking the Best for Family and Country. You are such a champion of American families as well. I have to play for you a cut from the testimony on Capitol Hill that's occurring with regards to the Texas abortion law. I have to have your reaction to this outrageous propaganda. This is an abortion activist, Loretta Ross. Play cut six.
Because you don't understand why these bans on abortion are not about having more black and brown babies born. They want more white babies to be born.
When we have seen almost half of all the babies killed since Roe v. Wade be black Americans, is there no limit to the size of the lies that the pro-abortion activists will spread in this country, Senator?
We had a hearing in Judiciary this week on the Texas abortion law, and it was striking to me that a couple of the witnesses would lead you to believe and actually answered questions to me in a manner that would show they believe that a woman can't be truly equal unless she has access to abortion. Now, they don't talk about the rights of the child, the unborn child, but they talk about the right to have that abortion whenever they want it, whether it is first, second, or third trimesters, being able to have access to that abortion. And, of course, the Texas Heartbeat Bill has gone to court, and they have filed, some of the Democrats in Texas have filed a very liberal, far-reaching abortion bill that would allow right half and beyond what Roe v. Wade covers.
Unbelievable. But we know as long as there's somebody like you fighting for us, that we have a shot at keeping that shining city on the hill that Reagan taught us about. The website is blackburn.senate.gov. Follow this lady, support this lady. She's on Twitter at marshablackburn.com and at Marsha Blackburn. And again, thank you for what you did to tell the truth today in front of the three men that have done the most to damage the U.S. military. This is America First.
ReliefFactor.com studios. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
It's Second Amendment Friday, and Car Firearms is fighting for America. Car executives stand with America First and are willing to put their brand's reputation on the line to stand for our liberties. Please support our new Second Amendment Friday sponsor, Car Firearms. Check out their great line of USA-made weapons at KAHR.com. That's Car Firearms, KAHR.com. It's Friday, which means national security, foreign policy, with the man at the top of the Heritage Foundation for those issues. You can follow him at JJ Carafano, Colonel, Professor, Doctor. Jim, welcome in studio.
Hey, it's great to be with you. It's Friday. Oh my God.
And not only that, I haven't had a McDonald's apple pie.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
In probably a decade. And I got up at 4 a.m. this morning to fly back to the studio. And I'm hungry. And my dad said, if you don't sleep, you got to eat. And he had two of them. And I had one of them. And that was a very good Friday treat.
Keep my emergency supply of McDonald's apple pies always at the ready. Anything for a friend.
Slightly better than an MRE.
The military people are. Here, like, take my last bullet. You know, here's my last swig of water and an apple pie.
And an apple pie. Jim, I know you want to talk about a specific issue you mentioned when you came in, but got to ask you to react. We just had Senator Marshall Blackburn on with the hearings with Milley and with CENTCOM commander. Your reaction to the flip-flopping and, yes, we tell the president, no, we didn't tell the president. What's the big take-home of this week's testimony?
So I call it Washington's three failures, right? You know, we failed 38 million Afghans. I think Washington this week failed 331 million Americans. The one failure is, and even though they refuse to connect the dots, there's plenty of the one failure is, the president made all the wrong decisions. The consequences for all the terrible things that happened in Afghanistan, it's not the 20-year war or the graveyard of empires or whatever. He made bad decisions. That's what responsible for the bad consequences and putting America's interests in jeopardy. That I don't think. That's failure number one. Failure number two is the senior military leaders, but it's a different kind of thing. It's not, I think, that they advised the president wrongly. It's, You want to have discussions and trust and confidence with the president because that way you can be candid and everything else. Nobody's asking you to betray those. But on the other hand, it's not your job as a senior military leader to carry the president's water. Right? You are supposed to provide advice to the president. You're supposed to follow lawful orders and you're supposed to honorably command the men and women underneath you. It is not your job to do the politics, to read the president's talking points, to obfuscate your answers, to make excuses for the president. And I think they've done that. I think they've twisted themselves in circles trying to essentially defend policies which are indefensible. And that's wrong. But what and they have failed.
But what about the obverse? You talk about them carrying the water for the current incumbent. What about attacking his predecessor? Because, I mean, Tom Cotton, Marshall Blackburn, Matt Gaetz, you know, asked the serious question. How is it, as, you know, we're prepping to leave Afghanistan, because these interviews occurred this year, as China is doing what it's doing, as Iran is doing what it's doing, we have the chairman of the Joint Chief sitting down for hours repeatedly with a reporter to give interviews, trashing the last president, or just spending that much time.
I think Milley has demonstrated a lack of professional behavior and competence. Look at the phone call with the Chinese. I'll call you if we're going to attack you. But look, we're not going to attack you. Who talks like that to the head of the military of a foreign country whose English is not even their native language? Their concept of humor is not the same. The idea of satire in a professional conversation like that, talking about nuclear weapons, that is completely irresponsible. And why wouldn't you alert the entire intelligence community? You know, when this happened under Reagan, because the Russians thought Reagan was crazy and, you know, he was going to start a nuclear war, we had a nationwide federal effort to understand what was going on. Why wouldn't you do that? His behavior, I think, has been really amateurish. And for a 4-star general with decades in service to do this kind of interviews with a journalist, especially with Woodward, knowing how that stuff is played, and then to stand up before Congress and say, "Well, I've read the book," which is either a lie or an idiot. I imagine maybe he didn't personally read the book, but I'm sure the entire staff plowed through that and they diagrammed every sentence. And why wouldn't he be honest about that? So I think that's the second failure. And the third failure really is, I think, the Congress. And no aspersions.
Explain.
No aspersions to the senator or every congressman, but they didn't deliver the truth, right? Republicans attacked. Democrats could defend it. I mean, to be honest, everybody was bipartisan and said it was a disaster.
What did you want to hear?
Well, I think something that can actually happen in a congressional hearing, which is the actual timeline, the actual context. So when somebody says, "I told the president," that doesn't really mean anything.
No.
How did you tell the president?
When
did you tell the president? What exactly did you tell the president? What did the president respond to you? That requires, I think, an independent, nonpartisan commission like we had on 9/11.
Yeah, so I think we need that on Kabul. Maybe not a commission, but we also need on the China call. I want to know when. I mean, let me be very blunt. You know, you're one of the most plugged-in guys. You've been in this city for decades. You've served this nation in uniform for decades. Was anybody in January or February, did you hear on the grapevine, President Trump's going to nuke China?
No.
It's garbage, isn't it, Jim?
No. You know, the funny story. So under Reagan, there was actually this moment. It was called Able Archer.
The Able Archer, yeah. And then Operation Ryan.
Right.
Right. They thought we were going to nuke them.
I'm not sure I was actually on that exercise.
It was you.
No.
It was your nuclear artillery unit. Wasn't it?
No, I actually think I did Able Archer the year after the crisis.
Oh, yeah. But we'll check the timeline.
But the point is that was a serious thing. And there's a big debate about whether the Russians even took this seriously, right? But they did stand up an intel cell. We know that. But the point is on something as incredibly serious as the command and control of nuclear weapons, you would have the entire government wired in on this. Right. I didn't say study that. You know, I'll give you another good example, the call with Pelosi. Pelosi calls, says, "I want to talk about nukes." I think we talked about this, right? The answer would be, "That's a wonderful question. It's the most important thing that we do. You know what? Let's get the minority leader on the line and let's the three of us talk this through."
Yes.
But here's the problem with Milley. And look, I was in the Army for 25 years. I served in the Pentagon. I worked with senior leaders. I saw them testify. I heard about these meetings. A professional military senior commander understands how to faithfully serve this country and support their leader, be responsible to the Congress, and faithfully serve and look after the men and women. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's simple in that you do the right thing, and it's not easy sometimes because it might make you uncomfortable. But the clear thing on what to do and how not to screw this up, it's not hard to do. It's if you have moral or you're competent, and Milley has failed. But it's not a one-off thing.
Right.
It's a pattern of, it's like Biden. It's not, "Oh my God, Biden screwed up Afghanistan." Biden screwed up everything.
40 years. Bob Gates said it. He has been on the wrong side of every foreign policy issue for 40 years. As Jim said, what did you just say? You said it's simple, not easy. I think a Prussian said that about war.
Everything in war is simple, but simple is not easy. That's exactly right.
Always got to bring it back to the Prussian. We are continuing our discussion with Jim Carafano. Join the Heritage Foundation today, heritage.org, heritage.org. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is the Salem Radio Network.
America First.
Can you believe it? They are saying that they don't agree with America First. How do you say that?
Magnificent.
Welcome back, dear friends. Car Firearms is fighting for America, and cars executives stand with America First and are willing to put their brand's reputation on the line to stand up for our liberties. Please support our new Second Amendment Friday sponsor. Go to KAHR.com. I carry a 9mm car. Check out their amazing line of U.S.-made firearms, KAHR.com. Do it today. We're back with Jim Carafano. Follow him on Twitter, JJ Carafano, Vice President of the Heritage Foundation. Jim, you like wearing hats, don't you?
Sure.
We have our new America First store.
We have a camouflage
specially made for Jim.
It's a camouflage thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It says
America First. Seb Gorka store.com.
So there's a virtual.
Yeah.
Like, so if you go to Seb Gorka, you can buy Gorka.
You can get all the gear you want. You can get t-shirts, hoodies, my books. But I thought the camo hat, that goes with Jim.
Probably so.
Enjoy. All right, let's get back to work. Check it out for yourself. Treat yourself like Jim. SebGorkaStore.com. That's SebGorka, SebGorkaStore.com. The most popular t-shirt. I think we should send... Let's do this. Let's send one to Mark Milley at the chairman of the Joint Chiefs office, the one that says, don't be woke because you're a loser. Let's send him one in XXXX large, okay?
I'm really keeping this hat, by the way.
You better. I want to see it in your Heritage studio next time you're on my Newsmax show. Okay, Jim, you wanted to talk about the Select Service.
So this is a real issue that's still live. So there's a National Defense Authorization Act passes every year. There's a provision in the House version which requires young women to register for Selective Service. So if there was a call-up, they could, you know, essentially be
forced to fight.
Drafted and for it's the draft, right? Right. In combat. And then now there's going to be a vote on this in the Senate. Look, this is a bad idea.
Whose idea is this?
It's actually got Republican and Democrat votes on it. But it's, first of all, I think a lot of people think, well, men and women should be treated equally. No argument there. People should want to serve their country. No argument there. The draft has nothing to do with that. First of all, I think in every American war, somebody will probably call in and say I'm wrong, but definitely in World War II, more volunteers fight than people drafted. Even in Vietnam. Vietnam was primarily fought by volunteers. It wasn't...
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
It was not fought by draftees.
Whole thing about the draft cards is a kind of red herring.
We have conscription in the Constitution for moments of national emergency. So after World War II, largely because Truman lost the requirement for UTL military service, right? The compromise was they reinstituted the draft. It basically stuck around because it was cheap.
Right.
Because rather than, you know, spending the extra money to recruit the extra thing, we just drafted people, right? Right. And draft soldiers were terrible. They're in for 2 years. They don't do anything. They leave. And of course, it became a political issue during Vietnam.
So why is this a bad idea?
Well, because we're probably never, ever going to use the draft again. And even if we did, 70% of American youth are not qualified to serve in military service.
Now, that's the problem, isn't it?
Which means that the people that you could actually draft are the people who are already volunteering.
Because they're fit enough.
So it's actually unlikely that even if we had a draft, we would actually be able to use it to actually get people in the military. So it's... And we're not going to... And look, we're just not going to fight mass war. So there's we ought to abolish Selective Service because it's obsolete. So this idea about drafting women is not about we're going to treat them equally because we're not, because it does, it's not about people are going to be, you know, be better patriots because they're not going to do anything other than fill out a card.
So, is this
so it's an empty woke gesture is what
it is. That's what I wanted to say. Is this just another kind of virtue signaling?
It is, exactly. And we're doing this without a national debate. Nobody asked American women if they want to be drafted, right? And here's the thing is if Congress really cared about military readiness and allowing women to serve, there's so many things that we could make it easier for them to join the National Guard and Reserve.
Right.
You could have a volunteer registration where people could volunteer if they want to sign up and they could decide if I want to sign up, do I want to volunteer in a combat or non-combat role? I think the reason why they can get away with this is because they know it'll never actually happen.
But I do like the idea of making it easier and more streamlined for the Reserve and the Guard. That's cool.
Yeah, there's so many things we could do if we actually wanted to increase the opportunity and propensity for women to serve. This is an empty woke gesture, and it's the kind of feel-good thing that's just kind of almost despicable and disgusting.
All right, we have to declare war on wokeism. I've had enough. In the meantime, help those who are fighting it. The Conservative Mothership, the Heritage Foundation, fighting for the principles upon which this republic was founded. It needs your support. You can become a member today, heritage.org, and follow J.J. Carify. He's got a new picture on his thingy on Twitter. It's very cool. He looks very wary. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.